This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
With Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased, Malcolm Honlein, back from traveling to report on the critical stories across the Middle East. There's so many we need to start right away. Thaddeus?
Malcolm, let's start with Iran. They have elections. We're hearing reports that their missile and nuclear production is up, and that they're actually trying to subvert some student networks here in the United States. Can you enlighten us as to what's going on?
I wish I could enlighten, but I can try to inform a little bit, make sense out of the melange of information that's coming out. So first, it's good to be with both of you and to be back. As you said, I just arrived this morning and have seen so much that I hope we'll have a chance to discuss in the future. But right now, the election in Iran is pervasive subject of discussions, not because it's significant. It's considered not significant in the sense that Masoud Pezeshkian, who's the new reformist, quote, politician, he's of Azeri and Kurdish descent, won the election against Saeed Jalili, who until very recently was considered the front runner and a shoo-in. He's a hardline member of the Iranian ultra-conservative party. He had links to the IRGC, as did Pezeshkian. So both of them are IRGC affiliated, but the latter supports women's rights and the right to protest. And he wants to rejoin the JCPOA. But the election itself, the turnout, is not at all what is being suggested in the media reports. It was still very small. Even the Ayatollah, the supreme leader, came out and demanded people to go out and vote. In the first round of the elections, it was not 40%. It was probably under 10%. And in this one, it was perhaps a little bit more, but not that significant of a turnout. A lot of people stayed home. A lot of people used this as a means of protest. And of course, you know, the president is number two to the supreme leader, and he can block him, as can parliament. So the president has little influence on security and military matters. He pledged his loyalty to the political system. He praised Qasem Soleimani. So we know where he's coming from, and all of those who think this is a, you know, a reformer coming in who will save the day better wake up to the reality.
Hamas, Malcolm, there are reports of large demonstrations in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem against the war, stop the war. There are complaints from leadership in Gaza City by Gazans that the war must stop, that this Hamas leadership must make a deal. They've even called Qatar and wherever the Hamas leadership is hiding out and asked them to stop the war. There are new negotiations over the hostages. At the same time, Rafah is no longer a source of fighting. The fighting has moved back north to near Gaza City, a new neighborhood to me, and Khan Yunis. So what can you tell us about Hamas? Where are they, Malcolm? Did they flee, or are they back in the tunnels below Khan Yunis?
There are two answers to that. One is many people took off their uniforms, merged within the population, even after October 7th and until now. They are regrouping in various places. That's why Israel went back to Khan Yunis, where they found a major tunnel system. They also found another one that is the longest that they found, as well as a network near the border with Israel, though not crossing the border. And they found the place where Hamas leadership was gathering. It was inside the entrance to the tunnel. It was inside the Khan Yunis City Hall and in the UNRWA school right next door. But of course, you're only going to hear that they hit an empty UNRWA school, but that's because it was a center for operation for Hamas. Hamas has put forward now a series of demands of their own for the negotiations. And they reported this to Hamas reported it to the Lebanese, and to especially to Hezbollah, who really dictate a lot of what they do. And it said their position remains a permanent ceasefire, full withdrawal of IDF from Gaza, return of the displaced people. They also said that Hamas insists that IDF get out of the Philadelphia cross access and the Rafah crossings, and that they will not let Israel decide who of the Palestinian prisoners with life imprisonment would be released in exchange for getting some of the hostages back. That obviously is not something Israel can allow to happen. And the Hamas gathering point was only one of several such places in Shejaya where Israel withdrew. The Hamas reestablished itself, and Israel dismantled an infrastructure sites and numerous weapons, explosive devices, IEDs, and other things that they had brought back into the area. And they jeopardized the civilian populations in all these places, but with very little concern on the part of the Hamas and the world community. Israel did put forward a number of demands as well. That Netanyahu announced today, the demands were that any deal allows Israel to return to fight until its war aims achieved, meaning uprooting of Hamas. Weapon smuggling to Hamas from the Gaza-Egypt border will not be possible. Today, Sisi said that if Israel makes a deal, he will work with them to make sure that they don't reestablish the tunnels and will put in underground infrastructure to block tunnels. The third demand was the return of thousands of armed terrorists to northern Gaza Strip will not be allowed, and Israel will maximize the number of hostages who will be returned from Hamas captivity. Netanyahu is under great pressure, as you noted, domestically to come to a deal, but so is Hamas. The people in Gaza are tired of this war. They want them to stop. They think that they all benefit, and the leadership, as we all know, is abroad. And they're saying that seeing what Hamas has done, most people are very critical. And you see it in articles that appeared even in the last day or so. And they see what's happening to children and others while they live still in the relative lap of luxury. So the situation in Gaza is very fluid as well. The European elections may have an indirect relationship with this. Israel has, by the way, been very successful in the last few days in targeted hits at key operations of Hamas. And I think it's created a lot of pressure on Hamas to come to a deal. They've really suffered some heavy losses recently.
Malcolm, we need to go north. Thaddeus?
Yes, Malcolm, what is the current situation regarding Hezbollah in Lebanon?
The situation in Lebanon is very bad. The people in Lebanon are putting pressure on the Hezbollah to stop it, especially the Christian communities who feel that they will be paying a heavy price and have paid a heavy price, as well as others who do not support the Islamist agenda and the war. I think neither side wants to have a full all-out confrontation right now because they know both sides will lose. Israel has still to finish the work in the south, and having a two-front war is hard, although they are having it on a more limited scale right now. But we see that the nature of the conflict that is taking place with the escalation in the use of drones and missiles provided by Iran is creating a very dangerous situation. They have done damage. There are still 80,000 people out of Israel's north. It's not a situation that can continue for long. It creates domestic pressures as well on Israel. The fires that have been set by these weapons, they are firing 200 and more at a time, rockets and drones, which the Iron Dome and other and the Israeli Air Force take down. But still, some get through, and it creates obviously a lot of unrest. And on both sides of the border, there are people who want to see this calm down. But Israel can't allow a situation where they continue to get threatened and that, you know, in 6 months, a year, we'll have an October 7th coming from the Lebanese border.
Malcolm, about the European elections. And Britain, for example, Labour has returned to power with an enormous majority in the parliament. However, there is no clarity whatsoever where Jeremy Corbyn and the Corbynites stand within Labour Party. In France, it's even murkier because the three parties now are led by the extreme left, Mélenchon, whom I understand is called the French Corbyn. What can you tell us about those two countries, Malcolm, and their anti-Semitism?
Okay, very quickly, because these are obviously complicated situations. The election was a landslide. It was a snap election in both cases, not a wise decision, it appears. And originally we thought in France that Le Pen's party would do as they did in the first round. They actually were defeated. They got 132 to 152 in the estimates, whereas Mélenchon has 172 to 192, and the likely next government will be a combination of the current president and the Mélenchon party. It'll be a lot. If that is the case, they will lock each other up. I don't think that much can be done if that is in fact, because they are a very extreme, a far left party who want to establish a Palestinian state. It was one of their first actions. We have seen their role in the riots. We've seen the reaction to the election with riotous conditions that friends of mine sent me pictures were really awful. In the case of Britain, also a snap election, we see that Labour is already talking about changing the position on the International Criminal Court jurisdiction in Gaza. Other things that they have put forward, Steinmeier is actually a more moderate and has had a long relationship with Israel, but they're talking about renewing the money to UNRWA. They're talking about stopping arms sales to Israel. Other things that they have talked about before, they have their own squad now with five extreme pro-Palestinians elected to the parliament. It's going to be very destabilizing, I think, on both counts, and going to encourage the more extreme elements in both countries. And more people are saying that they have to leave.
That is, you had a question. I don't remember whether it was about Turkey or Jordan. I just don't remember.
It was about Jordan, Malcolm. It was about, is Jordan getting closer to Iran? And what is Iran's goals regarding Jordan?
Jordan hates Iran, does not want to get closer. But you are hinting to something very important, that the Iran's weapons route into the West Bank goes through Jordan. They want to add this to Syria and the Iraq and Yemen and the Hezbollah and Hamas to their ring of fire. And they have established successfully, Iran, an arms route to bring the material from Iran to Lebanon and then to Syria, Jordan, and the West Bank. And their hope is to flood the West Bank with weaponry. Israel has more troops in the West Bank than I think sometimes in Gaza, because they're finding all of these huge stockpiles of weapons of all kinds, anti-tank mines, RPG launchers, other stuff. And anybody willing to carry out attacks is able to get these equipment. They believe that there are more than 1,000 members of such armed groups. And the Al-Quds force of RGC has established a joint operations room to manage this with Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and the PFLP, who are, by the way, active here in the United States in some of the riots and things in Los Angeles and around the country that we see and will see at the Democratic Republican conventions. By the way, there is a story, important story on Turkey, and it's come under a lot of criticism because an Israeli passenger plane had to land because of an emergency, and Turkey refused to allow it to refuel to go on to its destination, Israel. They flew then instead to one of the Greek islands and was refueled there. But it's a clear violation. It's an extreme action. It's not done generally by even the countries that are hostile to one another. And it again paints Turkey as being on the extremist end, as a Muslim Brotherhood supporting country.
And Malcolm, Yemen, the Houthis, they continue to harass the Red Sea traffic, sinking and damaging all of the, including Chinese freighters moving through. But you tell us that Houthis are upgrading. How so?
They're upgrading extremely. And there was a war game just these last few days. And it was very extreme. And people, Iranian officials, the chief of the general staff and others were there to watch it. But the name of the operation was Operation Al-Aqsa Storm, of course, a reference to Jerusalem. And it's the name that was given to the October 7th outrage and brutal attack. And these war games come on the backdrop of the government saying that they're going to strike the Israeli occupation if the war breaks out with Hezbollah and if the war breaks out in other places. And they showed models, aggressive assaults, not just on Israeli, but also on British enemy encampments, as well have been targeting the United States and the shipping. They have not stopped any of the attacks. We've seen actually an escalation. And what they want to do is first have this offensive from the exercises offensive phase, and then move into a defensive phase where they safeguard their controlled territories and what they can take over. This is a much more sophisticated. Everybody made fun of the Yemen, of the Houthis. They are minimal force, but you see that because of the tolerance in the West, they are now emerging as a giant.
Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, just returned from the Middle East. That is Mekatar, American Greatness. I'm John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.